Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
210 here at CCO on a Saturday. Wild and Ducks in a matinee in St. Paul tied at 1. Period number 2 underway over there. And then they make this trip to New York. I love this trip the Wild have planned to New York. They get the Islanders on Monday. They get the Devils on Thursday and the Rangers on Friday. So they'll just stay in New York, play 3 games over the course of 5 days. Not bad. And they'll get to feel how those Eastern Conference teams live. A lot of short trips. I mean, if you think about it, you've got Boston. You've got the New York area teams. You get a team in Philly. Then it's not real far to Buffalo, Toronto, Montreal. Not a real long flight to Pittsburgh. You've got the Caps. You've got the Carolina Hurricanes. They got it pretty good out east when it comes to travel. And the Wild will get a taste of that once again Monday, Thursday, and Friday. Now, things are a whole lot better for the Wild now that they're in the Central Division. Remember the bad old days when they'd have Calgary and Edmonton and Vancouver as regulars? And it seemed like they'd play those teams 8 times a year. I know it wasn't quite that much. Meanwhile, the Timberwolves, they are in the All-Star break. Jimmy Butler, Karl-Anthony Towns, part of the festivities. The game is tomorrow night. Wolves are not back at it until Friday at Houston. And you'll hear it here, 21 to go for the Timberwolves. They're solidly in playoff position, and it sure would be nice to get a top 4 and get home court in the first round of the NBA playoffs. Once again, they resume at Houston next Friday at 7, our pregame 6:30 here on CCO. Golden Gopher men's hoops, they're on the road at Wisconsin on Monday, home to Iowa on Wednesday. Golden Gopher women, they host Maryland. Brenda Fries in town tomorrow for a noon tilt at the barn. And then Indiana in on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. By the way, Marlene Stallings scheduled to join Eric later today at about 5:10 here on CCO. Gopher men's hockey, they battle Ohio State tonight at 3M Arena at Mariucci. I'm trying to get into the swing of that, but... It's certainly not been easy. These new arena naming rights deals, etc. Once again, later today, Minnesota and Ohio State. That is a 4 o'clock start at Mariucci Arena. And Golden Gopher women there at Wisconsin, trying to avoid the sweep by the number 1 Badgers. And that game gets started at 3 o'clock in Madison. And, boy, the Badgers are good. And right now, it's fair to say Golden Gopher women's hockey, they're in a bubble. Not a foregone conclusion that they'll be in the NCAA tournament. They may need to go out and win the WCHA to get a bid to the NCAA tournament. We'll see how that plays out. By the way, the men did beat Ohio State 2-1 at Mariucci Arena on Friday. All right, a couple other sports headlines. Daytona 500 is tomorrow. Alex Bowman will be on the pole in the 88 car for Hendrick Motorsports. Once again, the Great American Race tomorrow, the Daytona 500. Meanwhile, the PGA Tour, final stop out west. They're at the Genesis Open at Riviera Country Club. And Kevin Na and Graham McDowell are at 8 under par. Bubba Watson in a group at 7 under par. And Troy Merritt, who had the disastrous triple bogey 8 on 18 at Pebble Beach last Sunday, playing pretty well this week. Troy Merritt, even on his round today, He is 3 under par, and that's good enough for a tie for 17th for Troy Merritt there. Still wee hours of the morning in South Korea, but the Olympics get started or resume again on a Sunday in South Korea. Lindsey Vonn, of course, did not medal in the Super G. I had a chance to watch her run. She was first out of the gate, which is tough. She had a little bobble near the end of the run, which cost her dearly, just off the podium for Lindsey Vonn in the Super G. But her specialty, the downhill, is coming up yet in the game. The United States men's hockey team not doing much. They got beat by the Russians 4-0. And I don't know if I'm a big fan of the strategy of Team USA men's hockey, where you got this combo platter of younger players, collegiate guys, and then you got minor league guys and older players. Just let the kids go and play. Get the best college players and send them over there and see what they can do. I'm just not a big fan. If you can't get the NHL guys, go with the kids. And let the college-age kids play and cherry pick and, you know, let them go. Now, I know that's a problem when you have college-age kids playing against these grown men from the other countries. But I don't know. I'm just not a fan. Ilya Kovalchuk had 2 goals for the Russians in this tournament. So you don't have the best players in the world there, and then you got this mixed bag of guys who maybe were good and over the hill and whatever. Meanwhile, the U.S. women's hockey team takes on Finland in the semifinals after the Finns routed Sweden 7-2 in the quarterfinals. Monday's game, that'll be Sunday our time, will be a rematch of the opener, which the Americans won 3-1. The Olympic athletes from Russia will play Canada in the other women's semifinal, and that's another charade of the Olympics. The Olympic athletes from Russia. Either they're there or not there. That's been frustrating as well. Institutionalized doping, and many of those people are still in Pyeongchang. Hard to figure out. There is a little MLB news. A person familiar with the deal says All-Star pitcher Jason Vargas and the Mets have agreed to a 2-year, $16 million contract. Pitcher Bud Norris and the Cardinals have finalized a 3-year one, or I should say a $3 million one-year deal. Edinson Volquez agreed to a minor league contract with the Texas Rangers. Here's one of my favorite stories so far this late winter, early spring. It'll be very interesting to see how this plays out. Miami-Dade County is suing former Marlins owner Jeff Loria and the new ownership group led by Derek Jeter. The county is seeking money from the more than $1.2 billion sale of the team. Contending in the suit that a 2009 agreement calls for the county and the city of Miami to receive a share of profits from any sale of the team. Loria bought the team for $158 million in 2002. And claims he lost money in selling the team to Jeter's group, which the county describes as fuzzy math. Well, of course it's fuzzy. You sell the team for $1.2, you bought it for $158 million. I mean, I'm no math genius, but isn't that an increase of over $1 billion? Now, year to year, he may have lost money. But it'll be very interesting to see how the lawyers representing Miami-Dade County come out against the fancy lawyers for Jeff Loria in this, because they wanted some protection in building the new ballpark. If indeed Loria used the leverage of the new ballpark to increase the value of the team, and he rides away and puts it in his pocket. Makes total sense that Miami-Dade County would want to wet their beak a little bit. We'll see how that transpires. And by the way, pairings are out for the girls' state hockey tournament that gets started at the X Wednesday in 1A and Tuesday in 2A. We'll start with the 1A tournament starting on Wednesday. The opener at 11 a.m., Hasmar Urschel taking on number 2 seed Breck. Then Proctor Hermantown, an unseeded team, takes on number 3 Red Wing at about 1 o'clock. And then at 6, number 1 War Road meets New Ulm. And then finally in the nightcap, number 4 Alexandria takes on number 5 St. Paul United. On Thursday, the 2A tournament gets started. At 11 a.m., number 2 Centennial meets Lakeville South. At 1 o'clock, number 3 Hill Murray meets Egan, one of the unseeded teams. At 6, the number 1 seed Edina takes on Brainerd. And in the nightcap, number 4 Andover plays number 5 Eden Prairie. And I checked this earlier, but it is the third year in a row the winner of Section 7 has played Eden Prairie in the opening round of the state tournament. 2 years in a row, it was Forest Lake. This year, it's Andover. Andover beat Forest Lake on Thursday night. I called that game on cable TV, and Andover has a terrific top line. Oh, just a great top line. Should be a fun nightcap in the 2A tournament on Thursday in St. Paul. It is 2:21 at CCO. Quick break. Eric Nelson will join the program coming up. We call it Sports Saturday here at CCO. 2:25 here at CCO Sports Saturday. Steve and Eric hanging out. Dan Cook, our studio coordinator. Wolves at the All-Star break. Flip Saunders night, a very emotional night. And for the second time in the three-game homestand, the Wolves struggled a bit to beat an inferior team. But nevertheless, they did beat that team and found a way to win the game. They take 2 out of 3 on that homestand heading into the All-Star break. They're in good shape. They're going to be a playoff team. They've got 21 to go. Just 25% or thereabouts remaining in the season. And the Wolves in pretty good shape. They could be better off had they not dropped some maddening games on the road. Atlanta, Orlando come to mind. But nevertheless, the Timberwolves have taken a step forward and are solidly in the playoffs.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, they're in the best position they've been since 2004, and of course that was the pinnacle season in franchise history when they went all the way to the NBA's Western Conference Finals as a one seed, by the way, before getting knocked out by the LA Lakers in 6 games. So, yeah, they're 11 games north of 500. Solid. They're 2 games ahead of the 5-seed Oklahoma City. And you want to keep OKC, I think, in the rearview mirror because it seems to me like this team will get better and better as the season wears on. I know they've lost 6 out of their last 10, but I think they've started to find a little bit of a rhythm down there in Oklahoma City. But the Wolves, as we know, Stevie T., they're not very good on the road. They have not yet established themselves as a solid road team. They're 12-18, and boy, they're going to get tested on Friday when they go down to Toyota Center and face Houston, which is now, overall record-wise, the number one team in the association. How about that? At the break, and you said it, we're well past the halfway mark.
Oh, yeah.
We're three-quarters of the way in. The Rockets have a half-game lead over Golden State for the number one seed. Wow.
The good news is for the Timberwolves, they've played more games than anybody who was 61. They have 21 to go in the regular season. And they're tied right now. San Antonio 35-24, Minnesota 36-25. San Antonio percentage points ahead. The Timberwolves 10 games behind Houston. Here's where it gets interesting, though. 2 games ahead of Oklahoma City in 5. 2.5 ahead of Denver, the 6. Portland, the 7, New Orleans, the 8 seed, just 3 games behind the Timberwolves. The L.A. Clippers, lo and behold, 3.5 games behind the Timberwolves. Utah, Ricky Rubio and company, 30-28, 14.5 games. So the Wolves can't afford coming out of the gate and going 11-10 or 10-11. That might not be good enough. I mean, they've still got work to do.
No, and you can't assume they're in until they're in. because, you know, as we all know, when we're driving in our cars, objects in the rearview mirror are sometimes closer than they appear. You brought up Utah. They've won 11 in a row. So the Jazz are surging, and they're not even a playoff team right now. They're currently at the 10 seed. You brought up the Clippers, and then you start looking at Denver, a team that's won 7 out of 10. And I think the Nuggets feel like they're in that same boat the Wolves are in. They're ready to make that move and rise up in the NBA Western Conference. So, boy, it's just loaded. It's a lot of fun. When the playoffs do come here, I think we're going to have some great matchups in round one, two, and beyond. For the T-Wolves, they just have to keep taking care of business. And out of the gate, again, at Houston, then back home to Chicago, they'll start with a back-to-back after this long layoff. But we know the Rockets are going to be a difficult game for them. They came in here on Tuesday night.
Oh,
they lit it up with 22 three balls. And, you know, it was a pretty competitive game. But in the end, Houston just pulled away. Do the math. 22 threes for Houston. I think only 6 for Minnesota. I mean, I'm no brain wizard. But even I can figure out that's a big disparity.
Yeah. So, once again, the Wolves are in good shape at the break. But they need to come out and maybe take advantage of the fact that they don't have to play as many games down the stretch as all these other clubs. They only have 21 to go. Many of the other teams around them have a lot more than that. They have 2 games in hand on Oklahoma City. They have games in hand on a lot of these clubs. You look at Denver, they have games in hand against all of these, so they've played a lot more. And maybe the 5-5 finish before the break for the Timberwolves was a bit of fatigue. That was part of it, that they just ran out of gas. They were burned out a little bit. Jimmy Butler, Karl Anthony Towns are going to be part of the festivities at NBA All-Star Weekend. They'll play in the game on Sunday night. And as you pointed out, they don't resume play until Friday. But it is imperative that the Wolves get a little swagger back and are playing well at the end of the year, because there have been some clunkers along the way. There's no doubt about it. I can think of 3 or 4 games this season that hopefully won't haunt the Timberwolves as we get into that stretch drive.
Yeah, and those losses on the road in the East come to mind. I mean, the bottom 4 teams in the Eastern Conference, Minnesota has lost to Atlanta, the worst team in the association, Orlando, Brooklyn, and the Chicago Bulls. I mean, those were 4 clunkers. Yeah, I'll give you a mulligan or two during a long, grinding 82-game regular season. I mean, you know, once in a while you're going to get beat by a team that is technically inferior to you. But those 4 losses certainly, to me, those are the blemishes on an otherwise a very good season so far. And you know, you were bringing up the fact that maybe the Wolves are worn out a bit because they played all these games. Let's also not forget they travel more air miles-wise than any team in the NBA. They're number 1 in miles in the air. So Minnesota, for whatever it's worth, you can't use it as an excuse. I mean, really, I guess, who cares? They travel in luxury. It's all that good stuff. But nonetheless, they're in the air a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe it's caught up to them on some occasions.
And traveling in luxury, I don't think does justice how NBA teams travel.
Pro sports teams in general. I mean, yeah. When you talk about, a long trip.
It's a long way from coach on a budget carrier.
Exactly, yeah. Where you have to pay for that extra bag to be checked, or can't even put one overhead in the bin nowadays, the way things are going with the airline industry. But, yeah, I mean, they fly in cushy charters. Some teams have their own jet. They stay in 5-star hotels. They rarely ever touch the tarmac when they land. There's usually a bus there to greet them. Somebody's got their bags. So it's a much different scenario than the way you or I travel, and that per diem they get. I that would be a year's salary for me.
Yeah, there you go. 232, but the Wolves, Jimmy Butler, Karl Anthony Towns, figure to get some minutes in that All-Star game. Ton coming up, including spring training. Pitchers and catchers are in. Full squad workouts begin. Our first spring training game of 2018. The Twins and the Golden Gophers play on Thursday down in Fort Myers. We'll talk Twins and some of the moves. They haven't added a big-name pitcher. They lost one of their key guys for at least a month, Irvin Santana. We'll talk Twins coming up.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
2:38, 22 minutes now in front of 3. The Minnesota Twins pitchers and catchers are in full squad. Guys begin to report, and we get ready for the 2018 campaign. Of course, the 2018 radio home of the Twins, News Radio 830 WCCO. Thursday, Golden Gopher Baseball takes on the Minnesota Twins down at CenturyLink Sports Complex. You'll hear it here. The game begins at 5 o'clock. That'll be a great way to start this new partnership between the Twins and CCO. Concern about the starting rotation. There was talk of Yu Darvish. He eventually ended up with the Cubs. We got the news that Ervin Santana injured his finger, needed surgery, may be available in May. That remains to be seen. And now they've picked up veteran right-hander Anibal Sanchez, one-year deal worth $2.5 million and up to $2.5 million in incentives. But they weren't able to land a marquee, a guy that you could plug into the number one or number two spot in the starting rotation. It looks like the Twins will try and make do without Santana until he's able to return.
Yeah, and it's a big loss. I mean, even though you play 162 games, sometimes it comes down to one or two that either gets you into the postseason or keeps you out. They all count. They all add up. So, obviously, Anibal Sanchez is a guy who's had success. You go back to 2013 with Detroit, he was 14-8, had a league-best 2.57 ERA, finished fourth in the AL Cy Young Award voting. But since then, a lot of injuries. So there's not even a guarantee this guy's going to make the team. If he does, he gets $2.5 million, some incentives, things like that. They need Sanchez to come in and maybe do what Bartolo did a year ago and be able to get into that rotation and help them out, because I think a lot of us, myself included, thought maybe they would be able to bring in a Yu Darvish or somebody like that. I know Jake Arrieta is still on the market, but that would be a major coup. I'm not sure they're going to go down that road. But look, it's all about pitching. We know that, Stevie T. And Ervin Santana was brilliant a year ago. Think of the way he started. I believe he was 7-0 or something like that out of the gate, made the All-Star game. You don't have him until May. You've got to patch it together. So hopefully, if you're a Twins fan, Anibal Sanchez will be healthy and ready to go.
Yeah, and he joins a lot of veteran guys with question marks. Phil Hughes coming off another surgery. What will he bring to the table? Kyle Gibson, now a veteran guy. What's he going to bring to the table? We've already explained what's going on with Ervin Santana, not available for the first month of the season or so. And then you got Jose Berríos, and you've got Alberto Mejia, who also figures to be in the mix as well. Another veteran guy that is just a guy. He's not a lights-out pitcher. And we'll see if that'll be enough for the Twins to kind of hang in there until they're able to get Ervin back at the top of the starting rotation. So it puts a lot more heat on a guy like Berríos to be one of those guys who takes a ball every fifth day and gives him a really good chance to win. Yeah, we'll see.
And I think Berríos is the kind of guy who can take charge and assume that role. And maybe big picture, he is ultimately the Twins ace. I know you and I were very impressed by him 3 weeks ago at Twins Fest. I mean, a poised young man, only 23, out of Puerto Rico, but seems very humble, but also very hungry. So there is that opportunity for Jose Berríos. Look, if you examine what the Twins have done, I like Fernando Rodney on the back end as a closer. I know he's 40. You know, he's up there in age, but this is a guy who brings a lot of energy. He had 38 saves a year ago in Arizona. And I talked to Garvin Alston, their pitching coach, the other night when I was in for Maxi. He says, boy, he just lights up the clubhouse when he walks in. Players like a personality like Fernando Rodney. He makes the game fun. So then they add a Zach Duke and Addison Reed for your middle relief spots that are so critical if you're going to win and have success in MLB. But that rotation, it's still questionable. Kyle Gibson needs to step up. I know he didn't win the arbitration thing and all that, but you got to put that in the rearview mirror quickly. It's time for Kyle Gibson to prove he's a solid major league starter. And we're going to find out here pretty soon. As you said, the game starts on Thursday when the Gophers take on the Twins right here on CCO.
So the Sanchez deal, I mean, that's you're getting a deal there. It's a bargain bin guy taking a flyer, $2.5 million, chump change in today's major league. chump change for a major league starter for sure. Another $2.5 million potentially in incentives. So, you know, the idea that if you get anything out of him is going to be a bonus. By the way, single game tickets went on sale today. So there you go. Sign that the season is on its way. Pitchers and catchers are there. And I did see Byron Buxton arrived at camp on today. Brian Dozier and Miguel Sano, who have yet to report before tomorrow's report date. I would assume they're in town and are just going to stop by camp when they're ready. First full squad workout is on Monday. And then, of course, they'll play the Gophers on Thursday. You'll hear that here. And then the games begin pretty quickly as the Twins get ready for the 2018 season. Now, the jury's still out. They still could make a deal. They could still add starting pitching. There's talk of a potential trade to bring in a guy from somewhere else. We'll see how that goes. But I think what we learned is that, you know, even though they were in on the Darvish thing, everything would have had to go their way. The number of years, the dollar amount, and the fact that the Cubs threw 6 years at, you know, the Twins are not going to give the guy 6 years. And frankly, the Cubs are in a position with the money to be able to do that. If it doesn't work out, clubs like the Chicago Cubs can afford to have deals like that go bad. They have the money to make mistakes.
Well, and one thing, you know, the analytics group that basically now runs Major League Baseball in most cases, they don't like the long-term deals. They don't want to have these 8-year, $140 million contracts. I mean, we've seen it here with Joe Mauer. It certainly hasn't worked out, I think, the way anybody had hoped it would. We've seen it with Josh Hamilton with the LA Angels. That was a disaster. Albert Pujols, and there's a number of examples. So, yes, if you could get a Yu Darvish for 4 or 5, I think you throw the money at him. He's worth it. Now, the Twins have a lot of money. I mean, the ownership group is near the top in MLB, but I think when you're talking about the Chicago Cubs, they bring in more TV revenue, they're in a bigger market, and that's where you're going.
They can afford to make those mistakes without locking into big money losses year after year after year. You look at clubs traditionally like the Dodgers. The Dodgers can overcome, and let's face it, the Dodgers have way overspent on a lot of guys. It hasn't already worked out. How many world championships do the LA Dodgers have?
They have none since 88.
Right.
No, and I look, I'm all on board. I would not go with the 7 or 8 year deal anymore. I think there's enough evidence to suggest that's too risky, especially with a pitcher. Now, on the flip side, I'm just speculating here. I wonder how negotiations went with Darvish and the Cubs. We're late in the game now. Spring training's begun. A lot of these guys want to get to work, and on the flip side, ball clubs want to make sure they know who their rotation or their staff's going to be. So maybe Darvish and his camp went in looking for 7 or 8, and the Cubs came in at a 4 or 5, and they met in the middle. He got six years. So that's not the kind of deal we've seen like a Zach Greinke get or somebody or Joe Mauer, but it's a little bit closer to 4 or 5.
No,
and I think he has an opt-out.
If it were my money, if it were your money, and this is I think it's always much easier to spend someone else's money when you're a fan or have a rooting interest in a team or whatever. I wouldn't have given Darvish that. I don't think he's worth that kind of money. I wouldn't have paid that. I just think giving a guy like that who has had some success, has had little or no postseason success, to me it's not worth it. I wouldn't have given him that money. If money was no object and I was a multi-billionaire, I wouldn't have given the guy the
length.
Money. Yeah, I hate those deals.
Right, I would have gone 4 or 5 with Darvish, and I would have paid it.
I don't know.
But you're right, the postseason record is checkered. You know, Danny Gladden said that to us at Twins Fest. He was skeptical of Darvish because he didn't perform for the L.A. Dodgers. But Joe Nathan was also on with us. And he says, well, he hasn't had a lot of opportunities in the postseason to really, you know, prove whether that's true or false. I mean, Clayton Kershaw struggled in the offseason until this past year. I would say this. You look at what's left. Jake Arrieta's the big plum. That's going to cost a lot of money. He's a Scott Boras client. He has this history of waiting things out. So I would be very shocked if the Twins are even in on that conversation. Then you go down to somebody like Alex Cobb, who's a right-hand pitcher.
wouldn't come at with maybe the price tag of Darvish or Arrieta, but certainly could add to a rotation. Would the Twins make a run at Alex Cobb? Can they? Are they? I think there's still a lot left, Stevie T. And then you look at position players like J.D. Martinez, Eric Hosmer. So it'll be interesting to see here. Now that players are trickling into Arizona and Florida and spring training will begin here in the next few days with actual games, how long does a Hosmer or an Arrieta or a Martinez or a Cobb sit out there on the market? This is where I think it's going to get interesting. And will somebody panic? Will somebody just sign, say, a two-year deal for some good money and then take their chances down the road?
And the other big item to come out during spring training at some point, what will happen to Miguel Sano when he reports? What ultimately will MLB say? There were the accusations made. They're still looking at it. No decision has been made. Will he be suspended? And if he is, how long will that be? So there is a chance Irvin Santana and Miguel Sano,
two all-stars from last year,
could be out of the lineup. What suspension? Is it a week? Is it a month? We have absolutely no idea what MLB is going to do in this situation regarding the alleged off-field incident involving Miguel Sano and a freelance photographer. So you could be going into this season without Sano, and for sure without Santana. And that would be a problem for this club, for sure.
No question. As I just said, they represented the Twins in the All-Star game last summer in Miami. So they were key parts on a team that eventually got into the postseason and played the Yankees in that play-in game. The whole thing with Miguel Sano is we really don't know. You know, in talking to people, I've heard, you know, various accounts supporting him and others not supporting him. So I have no idea. MLB is doing the investigation. And look, it's a sensitive topic these days with the hashtag MeToo movement, and it should be. This should not be condoned by any ball club, any company, any corporation. But on the flip side, a guy certainly deserves to have his day in, I don't want to say court here, this is not a legal matter yet, and maybe never will be, but he certainly deserves to have his side heard because some of these accusations might not be true. So that's what MLB has to determine, and you're right, if there's fire where there's smoke, then Rob Manfred, the commissioner, will probably sit him down for a while. If there's not, then he might be ready to go once the bell rings.
Yeah, we just don't know. 2:51 here at CCO. We got a whole lot more coming up on a Sports Sunday. Things are going to get crazy again in the NFL. It is amazing how we segue from the Super Bowl to the new season here pretty quickly. We'll talk a little Vikes. And what could be the quarterback plan going forward? That's still a very popular topic in these parts now that there's a new offensive coordinator. It's all coming up here on a Sports Saturday at CCO. Steve and Eric hanging out Sports Saturday at CCO. 5 minutes now in front of 3 o'clock. Viking football never far from the headlines. In this part of the world, always number one, top of mind. And during the week at my full-time job, there's still a lot of talk. Who should the quarterback be? Sam Bradford? Should it be Teddy Bridgewater? Should it be Case Keenum? Kirk Cousins' name keeps coming up. This will be very interesting when the new NFL season opens up and the free agent signing period. Cousins will get paid. Here's the thing that scares me about Cousins. And I can't get over it. How many years in a row did Washington throw the franchise tag on him and then decide to go out and get Alex Smith? Now, I think Alex Smith is okay, but do you consider Alex Smith an elite quarterback in the NFL? With that said, they chose Smith over Cousins. I just don't know how the Minnesota Vikings, in their right mind, give Kirk Cousins a ton of money based on what?
Yeah, I actually would have Alex Smith on my list ahead of Kirk Cousins. If you ask me to rank him, I'm going with Alex Smith.
So based on that, what then? Why would the Minnesota Vikings go Washington and also ran a middle of the pack team who's done nothing under Daniel Snyder? They go get Alex Smith. They say, you know, Kirk Cousins isn't our guy, So that makes him the Vikings guy, a team that has a window right now to get to the playoffs and, who knows, make a little noise in the playoffs?
I would be shocked if the Vikings throw a boatload of money at Kirk Cousins. I don't think that that's a guy they're going to chase. I think he ends up somewhere like Denver. Denver's more desperate. I think what the Vikings want is they want to get Case Keenum and Teddy Bridgewater back at their price. Now, what is the market for Case Keenum? Right now, I don't think there's much of a market for Teddy because you don't know what you're getting injury-wise.
No.
As far as Case goes, he had a hot stock after that, the walk-off touchdown throw to Diggs, right? He was pretty good then. But the Eagle game, things came back to earth quickly, so he may have lost a few dollars in that. I still think
which I give him about 10% of the blame for that Eagles
loss. I'm with you there.
That.
I just think the market, though, for Case Keenum may not be as high as, say, well, Kirk Cousins. But I think the Vikings should and hopefully will get Keenum back and Teddy Bridgewater and then let him compete. Then you have competition when you break camp in Eagan, because that's good if you have competition.
All right, we got to run. We have the news. We have the weather. More Sports Saturday coming up at CCO.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.